The following program is paid for by Edge Construction and does not reflect the views or opinions of Good Karma Brands or ESPN Madison. Now that we've hammered that out, let's get to work. From the Everlight Solar Studio, this is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Here's Jim Rutledge.
Welcome into the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the new ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Call Mike at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse their work and read reviews. You can go to House, Facebook, and Instagram to see more of their work as well. And Mike, we are kind of, it's weird we're in fall, but it's basically winter. But at the same time, I think, I don't know if you're like me, I'm still working through my fall to-do list because winter hasn't seemed like it's arrived yet.
I feel like it kind of skipped fall. It just went from super nice to now I'm freezing.
Yes. It was last Saturday I finally was like, all right, I got to get all, because the leaves took forever to fall off the trees. And I was like, I don't like raking multiple times. So I was like, I want the majority of the leaves gone before I'm raking up everything. And my wife's like, well, there's leaves. I'm like, yeah, but give it 2 more days. It's going to be a whole other yard full of leaves. Let's just get it to most of the leaves gone, and then I'll rake it to the curb.
Do you have one of those yards that if you get a really great wind from a certain direction, it goes to your
neighbor's
yard?
Yes, well, my front yard, I barely have to touch. But the backyard, it's
you get the fence back.
Yeah, the privacy fence works against me because we have a lot of trees back there, and they all just shed right into the privacy
fence.
You're stuck. So, yeah. And then, but the old tarp doesn't do too bad. So you just lay out
the
tarp.
Yeah. You get them on the tarp.
Yeah, I figured that one out a few years ago, and that seems to be the fastest way
to do it. You put the girls to work?
Yeah, actually, shout out to them because last weekend I had to take the camper down to put it away. And so when I was gone, I told my oldest, I'm like, I'll give you $10 and I'll take you to Culver's.
Nice.
And I was like, you got to pay her more because she's really grinding out there and there's a lot of leaves. So I got back and I gave her $20. Nice. She did the whole backyard.
Wow.
I gave my youngest $5 because she was 8 and she didn't help that much. But yeah, she was out there giving the old college try. And then we're going to Culver's this weekend for it. But I was blown away how good of a job. I just didn't think that they've never really raked or whatever before. But $20 might have been $20 million to them. So they were like, they're after it.
It's like the best $20 you've ever spent.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would have given them more if my wife told me to. I'd have been like, this is fantastic. But it was funny the next couple of days. My oldest is like, I'm sore.
Well,
I was like, yeah. I mean, look, if I rake, I don't use those muscles when you rake very often. Like, yeah, it's kind of like a different group. So I'm like, yeah, I don't blame you for being sore. But yeah, so she got out there and did most of it. So that was actually a nice little treat for having it. Usually 12-year-olds pain in the butt. But this time around, it was actually helpful. So, So on that note, we're going to talk about fall maintenance because I do think some of the stuff is sneaking up. Some of the fall stuff of even small things of, oh, wait, I got to cover the hose is on the outside, or like the faucet's on the outside of the house, or I got to make sure X, Y, and Z is done for the winter and, you know, maybe get the gutters cleaned out. Or I saw some guy who I swear was going to fall. He's standing on like, you know, it's like someone like a roof that's not quite. Like he's standing on his garage roof, which is a little bit lower than the roof of that. So he's trying to blow some stuff off and he's just standing up there holding onto the gutter. I'm like, God, if you fall, that gutter is just coming right with you. So you're watching it be like, do I need to call 911?
Who was Max McGee, right? Did he fall off?
He might have, but there was a Badger coach too. That same thing happened. And then I always think of Christmas Vacation though too. And he falls backwards and then falls down the ladder and everything. But it doesn't happen like in the movies. It's usually Clark would be dead.
It's a good fall movie. Yeah, you got the Eddies.
It's a great movie. Love the movie, but if you fall in real life, you're probably
there's
dead.
No hanging by the Christmas lights until somebody helps you.
No. So on that list, I think one of the ones that everyone's at this point has definitely fired up the HVAC. But I'll ask you this: when do you at your house, like, what's the temp like? So for us, we just set like a certain temp at home,
and then when
it kicks on, and I fought it forever, but everyone else in my house, like, so actually my youngest is like me, we run warm, but my wife and my oldest run cold, and so we basically set it at 66 for a long time, would kick on, and then now it's at 67, and that's where the house lives. I get them to turn it down a little bit at night because I like it cooler, but yeah. What about you guys?
Similar, but I start off with my wife kind of ignores the thermostat, so she doesn't really know what's going on there. So
okay.
I think we start off with like 64, but then we've got the fireplace, which I use as a heat up the space you're in kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes.
So I'm like, hey, if I'm going to sit there and watch something, I'll hit the fireplace
and
warm it up. So you're not heating up the whole house. You know, yeah. The days of like roughing it It seems like, I don't know if anybody does.
No.
I mean, like in my house growing up, I swear, like if you left a glass of water on the kitchen table, you'd come down, there could be ice in it. You
know, Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Get up the next day.
Right, yeah.
Not so anymore.
And that's how, honestly, I would prefer it to be cold at night. Like, yeah. not like, well, because I always joke, I'm like, you have all these blankets, you're wearing sweatshirts, and like, why do we need the heat high as well? Like, and we do have the fireplace thing too, because then it's like.
There's some stat that it's even healthier, like, to sleep with the window open in the winter. Like,
it's definitely better to, like, the colder it is, obviously, to a point, it is outside of your cover, like, the better it is, you'll sleep better because your body then gets into a deeper sleep.
You know, it's a little bit off track, but there's a bunch of new research out. There's been a ton of innovation in HVAC and heating systems, cooling systems,
yep.
and with an emphasis on indoor air quality and comfort.
Yep.
So, I was a little skeptical. I thought, you know, okay, I saw this thing where there was the gas stoves, gas cooktops made it into the news a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we got to get rid of those. And it was sort of brought as in as something that was good for the environment, right? Like, yep. We're going to get rid of the gas and the inefficiency. So I got educated. I was at one of the conferences for construction, and I took a class on indoor air quality and was very surprised to learn that, like, just having a candle burning in your house affects your indoor air quality quite a bit.
Yes. I
mean, it's like having a smoker.
That was one that my wife moved off a long time ago of, like, and I forget there's different types that can make it not as bad, but yeah, it's more the, essential oils. The candles are really not a thing in our house anymore because of that.
Yeah. So there's that, and then you go to this next level where it's a gas cooktop or gas stove, and that's like having like five smokers in your house. It's like, if you think about it, okay, or you've got to have this hood fan that is just sucking so much air, 600 CFMs, cubic feet per minute, it's just an absolute ton of air. So we go through all this effort to tighten up a house.
Yeah.
And then we cut an 8-inch or 10-inch hole in the side of the house, put a fan on it, and just blow like crazy to clear out this thing.
Yeah.
The efficiency thing also is a problem. Now, to all the great cooks out there, please don't stop cooking. We all love that you're doing that.
Yeah.
And I understand you have a lot of control, when you're making something on a stove like that with a gas burner. But if you look at it from an efficiency standpoint, okay, you've got that flame hitting the bottom of the pan, but you got a lot of heat going around the pan, and even the... You even watch the flame is on the sides coming up.
Yeah.
And so the efficiency is somewhere around 30% for the heat that is produced to what's getting used. So there are new innovative things out in that. And I don't know if we need to get into that today, but the induction.
I was going to ask you about the induction because I have one family friend that has it and they love it. Once they got once they were showing how to use, they went to buy, I forgot from where, but one of their friends worked at an appliance store, and they showed it to them. And once they kind of figured out how it worked and everything, they were a big fan of it.
I am not a cook, but I think it's great. So induction is like you have to have a pan that will hold a magnet. So it's got to be metal that can be magnetized. So you can put that on there. It's a direct transfer of energy from inside the stove to the bottom of that pan. Like it, even the glass that this passes through, the energy passes through, doesn't heat up from that. It heats up because, the pan now is warm and it's giving heat back to the glass. So if you have induction on and put your hand on top of it, if you don't have a ring on, don't do that. In theory, you're not going to get burned. It cools off really quickly and it doesn't come through. So it's efficient. It's also like one thing I like about it is that if you're gonna boil water, like this is the extent of my cooking. If I'm gonna make mac and cheese, it boils water in like a third of the time, and it's like you literally put the pan on there, start it, and you almost see bubbles right away. The consistency, okay. If you're gonna make like an egg, I'm talking like I'm such a great cook it's not, how like most stoves they kind of rotate between like too hot and then not hot enough. That's the way our whole stove was.
Yeah.
So this is just gives you this like perfectly consistent heat. I'm sure if you ask my wife, there's things that she would change about it, mm-hmm. but I think generally it's been a really good move for us. And that's where I see the industry going is towards that.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I was just thinking about our camper they make us have a lot of, rightfully so, a lot of the gas detectors in there as far as
they do.
Yeah. Because even they're in there, and obviously you close everything off, but even when you're cooking in there, it's not a big space. We always just in
you
general
can probably smell.
Yeah, well, we open up the window just in general because it's you want to have the space opened up to begin with. But yeah, to the point where honestly, my wife just ends up using a cook stove outside because she's like, I'd rather just be outside. You don't even feel comfortable being in the space with it in there. Yeah. And I wonder if those switch at some point to an induction thing too, because. It just for a camper, especially that smaller space, like it just seems a little bit safer. People sleep in there. You don't need the anything to accidentally leak.
Yeah, yeah. And the trend is toward electric appliances and more efficient, you know, more efficient meaning they make a better use of the power. So it doesn't take it used to be like up until maybe the last 10 years, all the electric appliances were just super inefficient for what you got out of them, right?
Yeah.
So if you had an electric heater, you could get it to work, but it would just, you know, you could watch your electric meter just spin circles. So all that stuff appears to be getting better.
Awesome. Well, before we go to break, we'll talk. You mentioned the HVAC thing here. So it says one of the things you can do to get ready for fall is to schedule a professional HVAC tune-up for your furnace or boiler. And one of the a lot of people avoid this, but I think another reason to do it would be one, you know it's obviously ready to go, but then you know who your HVAC people are. You know, like, because most of the time it's like if you, like, where we live in whatever they're Shackleford, like, they were at our old place, they had the magnet on there, and they have it on there now. So, like, I've called them before, and like, when I moved in, I was like, who is it? Like, I went and looked at the magnet just to see, like, who installed this whole thing. And so, I was like, great, it's people we've already used before. So, then that's probably who I'll end up calling.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, it's like, if you never have it looked at, or because if they're looking at it every year, they'll have an idea when they get out there to get it fixed quicker, and they'll know what to watch out for. So, not only are you getting in front of possible maintenance issues, you're also pre-diagnosing of like, hey, if something goes wrong, they can be like, I know exactly what it is. I have this part. I'll get out and fix it.
Yeah, and they are a great resource. There's a lot of times when you can bring them out. Okay, they're gonna look at your AC unit. Usually do a clean, which is really worthwhile doing. By the way, these appliances are expensive, and you want to make sure you're extending the life as far as possible, and the regular maintenance helps that. On the inside, this is now a furnace with a computer attached to it, right? So when they're looking in there, they are testing for, you know, they're plugging into it like a car. They're going, okay, what shape are the sensors? Are the sensors all in good shape? Okay, we got a furnace that's working fine, but it's got a sensor that's going bad. Well, we'll just replace that because, you know, if that goes out, it's going to affect something else that might affect the life of your furnace. So there's those kind of things. Are you great at changing your filter? I mean, are you pretty much on it?
I'm only good now because once I embarrassed myself because I didn't change filter and I was like, it's not working right. And they're like, yeah, you just didn't change filter. But our newer one has one of those April Air things. And I just set a 6-month reminder on my phone and it lasts for 6 months. So then it is a giant pain in the ass to change it.
It like, is a pain,
Those are pain, like, because you have to, like, this
that is
like,
such a great filter, though.
It really is, though, but, like, the plastic and everything, like, it's a good 15, 20 minutes to do it, so. But I only have to do it twice a year.
But you feel like you're breathing clean air.
Yeah, exactly, and every 6 months, it's not that bad.
So, for a lot of people, this is something they, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and you don't realize how much you can improve your quality of life just by changing those filters a little more often.
Yep.
And so if you get the HVAC guy in there or person in there, they're gonna check it out and they'll scold you a little bit if you haven't been on it. But it's a good idea to get them in.
All right, we'll talk more about HVAC on the other side. This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin on Demand.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN App, and Wisconsin On Demand. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Call Mike at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse the work and read reviews. You can go to Howe's Facebook and Instagram as well to learn more. We're talking about fall maintenance schedule, and we talked about HVAC. The first thing we talked about was scheduling a professional for a tune-up. The next thing here is you talked a little bit about the filters, and it really just depends on what type of filter that you have, how often you have to change them. This one is interesting to me. It says, if you have a whole house humidifier, replace the water panel pad, clear the unit. So talk, one, about the importance of that, but two, is that something that is worth adding to your house or when you're doing a new build to put in?
So the humidifier, I think, is absolutely worth adding. So do you guys have a... Do you have a humidifier? Do you control?
Not the whole home one. We have multiple throughout the house, but
okay.
That's so I'm asking personally for me. I'm wondering if there's something to add.
Well, your house is going to go from, you know, if you leave your windows open all summer, it's going to go from like 90% humidity at certain points during the year to once you turn the heat on. Furnaces are great at taking water out of air, okay? So your humidity is going to go way down. It could go down as low as 15% or lower. Mm-hmm. So you have a 70 to 80% swing in humidity. That's just not good. It's not good for you personally. You know, you get dry skin, you get the cough, which I kind of have today. I don't know why, but you sort of start looking at it like as a system approach. Okay, I'm going to control my air and water. I don't want super high humidity. It's bad for my cabinets and wood floors and things like that. And maybe, you know, you can get mold growth. Mm-hmm. From the other side, I literally will have doors, interior doors that will shrink like over a quarter of an inch in the dry season, in the winter when they turn that furnace on. And then they'll gain, once they start gaining humidity, they'll gain that back and not shut right. And so it's a tough thing to manage. Okay, how do we hang this door so that it works in all of these systems?
Yep.
Is it a luxury? Yes, but it's sort of a necessary luxury. And when I was talking about getting educated and being aware of the innovations in the HVAC side, okay, it's not sexy to talk about your heating and air conditioning system, but if you're looking at your quality of life, things like how clean do I want my air? Are there people with allergies? And if the humidity is too low, is that going to affect them? Like, do you have somebody with asthma in your house?
Right.
Really low humidity is not good for them. So it's just another way to control another major component in your house.
Yeah. The next one here is clear vents, registers, dust, furniture, ensure they're open in used rooms. So that's one that I've been doing now for like when the season switches. I always want to make, because in our house, it's a two-story house. So certain times of year, like rooms are super hot or super cold. So then I kind of adjust like the down, like.
Oh, so you're balancing. You're talking about balancing the system.
But part of, not just balance, but also even closing some of the ducts, because it's like, all right, in the winter, it's actually, I want my daughter's room to be a little bit cooler at night anyways.
Okay.
And the main floor. So then it's kind of this balance of like, but in the summer, I close as many vents as possible to get the air to go upstairs.
Right.
But then in the winter, I kind of mix it up. But then when I do that, I do dust them and everything too.
Yeah. One other thing, by the way, that can help with that. I don't know if you've got a smart thermostat or
not.
Yeah,
we do. Yep.
So you can have your fan running all the time, at least during the day.
Yeah.
And what that's doing is it's not. Some of these days have been warming up to say 60.
Yep.
Your furnace might not have to run all day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this is a way to get that air moving, so you don't get stale air and sort of balanced temperature. So if you're a homeowner that likes to have, you know, you don't want warm spots, you don't want cold spots. Yeah. What you're doing with managing the vents, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
But also keeping that fan running, because it's going to take some of that warm air from where it's a little too warm and use it in kind of like this. It's going to use it where it's a little cooler.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good to know there. The next thing here, you talked about the programmable and smart thermostats. And I know a lot of energy systems, like I think we use Alliant, and they gave me a big credit for it. So I basically didn't have to pay for it. I just had to put it in myself. But they gave me like $100 credit for like a Google one. I was like, great. So it's in.
Yeah, so the Ecobee or?
Yeah. It's not, and they've done it twice because I've updated it. Like they gave me another one. I'm like, fine, I'll update it. And then the other thing they do is that my wife gets annoyed by it, but I'm like, it's harmless. But you get like, I get like $25 a quarter if I let them, like, they'll have like peak periods, and then they'll kind of like be able to adjust the thermostat down if, like, you know, like during the summer, if everyone's doing it, they'll be like, all right, so the thermostat's going to go up to 70 for a few hours in the middle of the day, but then it'll click back to its normal number. And so it's like, but I'll get $25 every quarter. It's not a lot, but I'm like, well, why not? Like,
you're also going to save.
Yeah, and you're saving. Yes.
Right, because you're using less electricity. So, the smart thermostat thing is pretty interesting. If you've not had it, I think you're kind of missing out, because you can really manage your system. Okay, we have it, and we have it at our shop and in our showroom, and all three systems that we use, they sort of learn you too.
Yeah.
Because
they'll start picking up on like when you're walking by, then it's like, okay, people are normally home at this time. Yeah. We'll keep it a little cooler or warmer or whatever. Yeah.
So we have basically three settings. One is heat, one is cool, and then one is heat cool.
Okay.
So like, if you just have heat, or if you just have cool on in the, there's certain times in the fall, now it's going to be cold, you're going to have too big of swings, mm-hmm. or it's not going to run enough, and your air is not going to be filtered, and you're going to have too much CO2 buildup, things like that, and stale air. So it's, you can do all that so easily with the new programmable thermostats. I think they really pay for themselves 10 times over, probably, because it's also much easier to set it up for how you live. So, like, you know, if you can get by with a couple of degrees cooler at night or something, or when you go on during the day, so then it's going to start warm. If you get home at 5, it starts warming at 4. You're going to have significant energy savings using that too. And like I said, if it, there are some, like I know the one that we use can monitor you with a GPS, basically with your GPS, and go, okay, they're driving home, I'm going to start heating things up, even though it might be earlier than usual or what you have it set at. Yeah,
that's nice. And it's funny, they're so much easier. Like my parents, they got a new HVAC and everything, but they put on, they didn't, I expected when I went to see them afterwards, I was like, oh, you'd have like a smart one. They still have the old school one, and I'm like, I don't even know how to, like, those were so hard to use in the first place.
They're so hard to program.
One, obviously, like, at my house, I can just do it on my phone, but even, like, on the screen, it's still easier to do the smart ones than the other ones. You had to have, like, a PhD in how to run a stupid thermostat, because you're like, is it on? What is going on?
I think some dads like that, like, nobody can mess with it.
I guess so. Maybe that's why my dad kept the other one, because, like, there's no way in the world my mom wants that, because it's impossible. It's like a Rubik's Cube to figure out how to use it. The next thing here, it says... we talked about inspect and clean ducts. So I always kind of thought that was a little bit of a hustle there. So is that something that needs to...
I think it is. So if you're, you know, I got it on the list because it's not a bad idea to just see what stuff looks like.
Yep.
Do houses need wholesale cleaning? I think the filters, you know, we mentioned that the April air filter before.
Yeah.
So April air is part of your heating system. And so I have an April air, it adds, it can increase my humidity. So it adds water to the, to the return. So, but April air makes the best filters, I feel. And so you can buy those. Do you get in on Amazon or something like that?
Yeah.
You can buy them anywhere. They are more expensive, but I really think it helps. And so you got to think of it in terms of, okay, this return air is coming back through, and it's getting filtered through a much better filter.
Right.
So the chances of having buildup of allergens and dust in your ductwork are much less. So you're moving all these air. Also, if your furnace is sized right, and by that I mean the old style of doing things was we kind of overshot on furnaces. So if your house called for with the heat calculations for an 80,000 BTU furnace, you probably had a 120,000 BTU furnace in there. And the problem with that is it ran less often, and it was less efficient. So if you more closely size the furnace, it doesn't have the capability to heat your house up fast, but it runs more often, and so your air is being filtered more often.
Yeah.
Fresh air is being pumped in more often or into the mix, and you're getting all the dust and allergens out with a good filter. So I don't know if that all makes sense.
Yeah, and then the last one here is heat pumps.
Oh, yeah, heat pumps. So this is something that is somewhat new to the industry, and what a heat pump does, it's kind of like a reverse air conditioner, right?
Okay.
So an air conditioner, even when it's 100 degrees out, an air conditioner is finding... cool air is finding some coolness, the opposite of heat, finding cool to pull out and pump into your house. The heat pump is something that sits outside and says, okay, it draws heat out of air even when it gets cold. So they work well down to about 0 degrees. There's still enough heat in when the air is 0 degrees Fahrenheit to pull out to heat a house. Once it gets below that, like, if it's going to 20 below here, you might only be able to heat your house to 55 degrees. So there are some hybrid systems that, this is an electric system, right? So to people that have solar, now solar starts to look a lot better when you can use it for something like that. Your family's not going to be happy with you if it's 55 degrees in your house.
Yeah.
So, there are some hybrid systems that have a traditional furnace and a heat pump. I'm a little cautious on that because Now we've got two systems to maintain. Now we've got two things that can break and go out and cost you double. And so I want to see I want to see the advantages to that, like money wise. I want to make sure that it works out, that there's a payoff for spending all that money. You can also get a heat pump that heats your hot water.
Okay.
So hot water is in your basement normally. It's not outside.
Yeah.
It generally needs, I think the last stat I saw was they need about 1,000 square feet to be able to pull heat out of it to heat the hot water. But yeah, using like just the area around you to heat your hot water is a pretty brilliant idea.
This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Actually, I'm going to try that one again. Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Get into the show, 608. Let's get into the show. Goodness gracious. All right. Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Call Mike Tuig at 608-636-3343. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig. You can visit them. EdgeConstructionCompany.com is their website. You can go to Facebook, House, and Instagram to see more of their work as well. And we are talking about things to do for your home, kind of a fall checkup. We did a lot on HVAC here. The next thing is, which is one I'll be honest, I haven't really thought about, is appliances and water heaters. So let's start with the water heater side of things.
Yeah. So so water heaters, you know, if you're in town, you generally have, it's a softer water, right?
Yeah.
But a water softener does help. So if you have a on-demand water heater, I've got an on-demand water heater. You know, it's the box on the wall. It heats it as you need it. But you can get, like, there are minerals in all this water, right? And when you heat water, some of those minerals sometimes fall out of solutions. Yeah. So like, they'll start to build up in certain spots. So a hot water heater, once a year, it's got, like, a little flush knob. So you're going to hold a bucket underneath it, turn the knob, turn the handle. It's going to run a bunch of that water that just kind of sits in the bottom of that tankless water heater.
Yeah.
And it's flushing out those minerals deposits so that over time, that's kind of the only thing that should ever go wrong with that thing, or, you know, for 20 years or so. So it's a good idea to do that. You can actually do that with a traditional hot water heater too.
Yep.
Get a hose on the bottom down there, run some out. Because of that thing where, you know, minerals are settling out, it might be trapping some of that stuff. What happens is those minerals can build up around the coils, around the heat source inside the hot water heater, and it gets less efficient and will fail at some point. So.
Okay. That's good to know. I might have to do that this weekend then. Yeah. Add it to my list. I didn't know that's something you can do. Next year, refrigerator, freezer, vacuum coils, drip pan, to improve in, efficiency.
So part of what I want to get across is a lot of people think, like, okay, I buy this appliance and then I forget about it, right?
Yeah.
And not realizing that, okay, these things do need a little bit of maintenance. So if your fridge is like mine and when you pull it out from the wall, it's super clean back there. There's nothing.
Dust. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
So anyways, that stuff all benefits from cleaning off. So like the dust that gets caked down those copper coils or on the radiator that's down there, you want to kind of do your best. Now, it's not like you got to get this stuff. Just pay some attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get some of that dust off, vacuum some of that off, wipe down some of those things, there's a real benefit to it.
Mm-hmm. And then again, dryer, dishwasher, all those sorts of things. So we can kind of skip through that a little bit.
I'm going to give you one that you probably aren't thinking about.
Okay.
And that is you guys have the, I'm going to call it Roomba, but, you know, we have Roborock, I think. It's a vacuum.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So those things are not without maintenance. So
you
should pull that apart and wipe down all the contact points for the charging stuff. Things can get built up around the wheels. Believe it or not, these things will quit working because of dumb little stuff like that.
Really?
And so it is worth take out, try and clean it up, try and get in those passageways. Stuff builds up in there just like any place else, and so it's another good thing to clean up.
And then the next thing here I want to talk about before we go to break is ice dam prevention. I know it says roofs and gutters that, and you can mention anything about roofs and gutters, but I thought we've talked before about ice dam and the prevention of it.
Yeah, so this is this is also a good time to go, okay, I need to be worried about ice damming. I feel like for most people, that I talked to, they want to just not think about it, you know, like pray they don't have it this year. But if you do have ice damming, it's a really serious issue and should be looked at least, you know, you should be aware of it yourself and maybe haul in somebody that's a professional just to tell you how to prevent this, how to fix this. I'm going to piggyback with that on spring is coming and the rains come in spring. This same tradesperson that can talk to you about ice damming can also help you solve some problems that might happen once those rains really start to fall. So if there's flashing issues around a chimney or, you know, ice damming a lot of times is caused by poor ventilation in a roof or not enough insulation or insulation in the wrong spots. So it's a great time. Most of the time, those insulation professionals will come and look at your place without a fee. Mm-hmm. They'll give you some kind of plan that you can go, well, okay, I'm gonna get this out of the way so I don't have to worry about this in the future, or I'm gonna procrastinate, but at least I know what at least I know what to do.
Yeah. No. We'll take a break here and then we'll come back. We'll talk about some exterior and foundation things to do on the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin on Demand.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show. I'm 100.5 years. I'll kind of give you a wave when we got about a minute to go so you can kind of be aware of it. Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show. I'm 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Call Mike at 608-636-3343. And you can find them on edgeconstructioncompany.com. Browse the work on Facebook, House, and Instagram as well. And we're talking about basically getting your house ready for the fall. And we've talked about HVAC and ice dam prevention and even appliance maintenance here. The next thing here is exterior and foundation. And we'll start with the idea of expecting the siding trim and kind of caulk around windows, doors, gaps, things like that, and then also look for peeling paint.
Yeah, so great time to do this inspection of your house. All right. This stuff will pay off in the long run, right? So if caulk dries out, and caulk always dries out. I mean, you know, you'll get some years out of it. Some of the siliconized caulks just stemmers, they don't seem to wear out very quickly. But if you do have caulk that wears out and starts to crack, or it just starts to get old and brittle, water starts seeping in, gets behind some of that wood, right? Your walls get wet. That's where rot comes from. And then the fix is just much more expensive than, okay, sucking it up and buying yourself a good siliconized or acrylic caulk.
Yep.
And re-caulking some of those areas. There's another reason to do that. On older houses, there's penetrations, there's gas lines coming in. Even on newer houses, you want to make sure there's not gaps there. There's not whatever's outside at when it gets cold starts to want to come in, whether it's bugs or mice, or I don't know if you ever get mice in your house.
No, we haven't, thankfully. Well, one time I got into the outdoor porch, and I was not allowed to kill it. I had to trap it and then put it back outside.
Yeah,
that's the worst we had. And it was honestly, it's one of those things with the door, the door went from the porch to the outside. The little plastic underneath it was a little bit high, and it snuck in under that.
They are sneaky, so it's good to make sure that, do an inspection, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then there's some rules of thumb. Get the gutters clean, because spring rains are going to come. If you got full gutters, you're going to get a lot of water next to your foundation. That's where the trouble starts. To also help that is make sure your downspouts are away from the house. You can even like I've done this myself before, where I've got the shorter downspout for most of the year. I go to a big box store, get some of that black corrugated plastic pipe.
Yep.
Cut some 10 footers, put them on just for the rainy season or, yeah, you know, for the spring. So like it's a good time to start thinking about that. And all of that inspection around the outside, you want to look at paint, you're looking for holes in your house, right? Because the average house lets in a lot of air. It's like having a 1 foot by 1 foot square. If you add up all the holes on an average house,
really? Okay.
That's how much air is coming in your house. It's sort of just being filtered through your house. So there's another way to do this. We don't really want it to. We don't want to do it that way. We want to make sure those holes are stopped up and caulked up and be aware of it.
Yeah, windows is a big one though too. Then right? Yeah.
Yes. Right. You're looking for anything that's going to lead to window replacement. Make sure you have that under control too.
And I know you guys don't do window replacements, but one of the things that if you do, I mean, like, you're not going to call and like, you're just going to like, hey, we'll do your windows. But if like in a whole home remodel or part of remodel, you'll put a window in. But a lot of that has to do with the install of the window, of this insulation around it.
I think so, yes. So we, like I said, if you're, we're not a, what we call a replacement contractor. So there's plenty of those. If you listen to the radio, everybody's saying we do windows. We install a lot of windows throughout the year, but they tend to be with a project, right? If we're doing a kitchen, we replace a few windows. Or if we're doing a whole house remodel, we might be doing a bunch of windows. Last week we did, in the last couple weeks on one house, we did insulation, new roof, siding, 17 windows, and then a bunch of stuff on the inside, you know, that we have to finish up. Yep. So, like, it's not like we don't do them, but we're very careful on our installs. We really educate our people on how we want to do it, and we call it flash it. We want to keep the outside out. We want to make sure all that moisture stays outside if we can. And paying lots of attention to how we tape those windows and how we make water flow around windows.
And then the other thing here, it was interesting to me where you said check foundation for cracks. Now, what are you looking for specifically as far as, I mean, it sounds so simple, but I guess what do you
think? So, you know, you can see usually the top foot on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But really you want to look for, you know, if on the inside in your unfinished area, if you don't have a finished basement, you're looking for cracks that go from top to bottom. Generally, my advice on is if you've got a crack that goes from top to bottom, you should have it inspected. There are the same people that do waterproofing on foundations will do repairs on foundations. So they'll drill in, inject epoxy. They offer a guaranteed fix for a number of years to not leak. And so if somebody's got a floor-to-ceiling crack, in a house where we're going to do a finished basement, we won't do it unless that crack has been addressed, because I just don't want to have this corridor for water to come into your house behind a finished wall. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So, again, all those trades are used to looking at these jobs and can give you good advice. And if you're having trouble finding somebody to talk to, let us know.
The next one, it would be inspect chimney. If wood burning, that's one I think. And then also there's probably some maintenance to do with the gas one, at least.
There are. The new gas furnaces are gas fireplaces are basically like a furnace. They're running over 90% efficiency. But we have our furnace inspected just like we should. And I would say every couple of years for sure, you should have your gas fireplace inspected. Mm-hmm. If you have a wood burning stove or a wood burning fireplace that you use, that should be inspected and cleaned every year. This is something that will cost a few $100, but you're getting more than just somebody running something up and down your chimney and knocking the soot and creosote out of it. They're doing an inspection, looking for potential problems, loose bricks. We had a house when we were first married that had a wood stove, and I was so excited because I thought, oh, we'll save some money. And then we ended up having a chimney fire. Now, it didn't burn the house down,
right. But
the fireman came, put it out, then yelled at me and told me what I did wrong and said, hey, you know, somebody should have cleaned this out before you used it. You know, did you even look in there? And I went, no.
Right.
So it's just good advice.
All right. And then a couple other things here. One, plumbing and water systems, anything for the outside that you should be making sure you're taking care of to make sure it doesn't flood on the inside?
If you've got water faucets on the outside of your house, right? Hose bibs, we call them. The newer style of that is you want to make sure that's all in working order so that when you shut off water to that hose bib, there's usually a shut off back farther in.
Mm-hmm.
It actually will drain that outside faucet out so that water doesn't freeze in there and crack that faucet in the wall. And so you want to make sure that stuff's done. And really by this time of year, I think we're all done watering things outside. Yeah. I don't know.
I think so.
It's a good time to do it.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. The last thing I'll let you talk about here just a little bit is just some things, and you've talked about it before. You do it when you maybe do a new build or when you're doing remodels. Just some things when you're doing a remodel or a new build to try to get in front of for energy efficiency and keeping your house warm in the winter and cool in the summer.
Yeah, so all that stuff we were talking about, I think the best money spent is probably an insulation inspection. We always are looking at the insulation in the ceiling, about, you know, above your, in your roof, right? We want at least R38 up there, which is, I don't know, it's about a foot and a half of blown in loose insulation. And the other big area that can make a huge difference, we call it the ring. So it's, if you look where your foundation connects to the rest of your house, and that there, the floor system ties in there, that's the ring. That's where most air infiltration comes. That's what's where the most air that's coming into your house is coming through that ring. We recommend mostly that they get spray insulation on there. So you can spray 3, 4, 5 inches of insulation there. Mm-hmm. And I think that really pays off for itself really quickly.
This has been the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.